Welcome to the DLF Dynasty Podcast with your hosts, Dan Myler, Ryan McDowell, and Matt Price.
Yeah, we are the DLF Dynasty Podcast. I am Dan, that's Matt, over there is Ryan, and we are coming at you with episode 616 of the show. It is draft week. We are all jacked to get to Thursday night and see those first round picks. Friday night is almost as valuable, honestly, especially to Dynasty players. Lots of running backs off the board on Friday, hopefully. And we'll conclude everything, on Thursday, and then we'll conclude everything on Friday with even more picks. But lots to get to on this show. We're going to talk about four more rookies in the rookie report. We're also going to do a final super flex mock rookie draft for you guys. That's going to be fun. And we'll start the show by talking about some of our guys. But first, let's talk to my guys. It's Matt. It's Ryan. Ryan, we are counting down the hours now instead of the days. It's a great time to be alive.
Absolutely. Best week of the year for us, for Dynasty players. Player value is going to change so much. Of course, we're focusing on the rookies today. We'll focus on the rookies a lot next week and then the coming weeks. But we're going to see some veteran values changing as well. So it's obviously a fun time for Dynasty managers.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about those veterans losing value, though. Let's talk about the rookies that gain some value. How about you, Matt? You just as fired up as we are?
Heck yeah, man. I am so excited for this week coming up, getting to hang out with you guys, watching the draft, gambling on, you know. Oh, sorry. Are we allowed to say that on here? We're not going to gamble. We don't do that. We're not degenerates at all. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. This episode's going to be a lot of fun as well. Let's get to this startup.
The startup.
Honestly, it would have been pretty surprising if any news popped up that would have trumped the NFL draft, which is, like we said, just hours away. So we're going to talk about some of the guys that we specifically like. And give a couple reasons why, just kind of a reminder to those out there that are listening that we need to watch out for these guys because maybe they're a little bit underrated. Matt, who's one of your guys?
Yeah, I went a little bit deeper. A guy that we haven't talked about since the first week we started talking rookies way back in January, I believe, maybe February. We're going to talk about Johnny Wilson today. Bit of a deeper guy from FSU. We thought he was 6'7". Turns out he's 6'6", but he's still 231 pounds. This is a player at that size who I just think it's rare for a player that at his size to be able to separate the way he does, the way he's able to sink his hips and move through his routes to go up and steal the sky and catch those balls. He's just a really impressive prospect that I think we maybe aren't necessarily giving enough credit to. In the draft community, is a 95.2 PFF grade on deep balls, a career 3.36 yards per route run, which is first in FBS last year. Over his career, and just like, you know, good luck jamming this guy at the line with his size. He can also get free release with stutter steps. Just like I said, the enormous catch radius. He's just a good prospect. Maybe a little bit inexperienced, but I think if we watch several of his games last season, you could see progression through each of those games. And I really do think that with the footwork that I think is rare for his size, you could isolate him as an X receiver in the NFL and just let him soak up whatever coverage is coming in his way. A team that's an all-star flanker on the other side of him would be an ideal kind of landing spot for this guy. But really fun prospect. Maybe he gets sent to tight end. You know, we'd probably like him a little bit better if he moves to tight end, but very interesting as a wide receiver prospect as well.
Yeah, I have him as a fourth round guy, so not real high on my rankings. I don't know exactly where you would draft him, Matt, but there was enough there to hold me back from getting super excited about his upside. He's certainly in the top 48, but I see him more as a backup to an NFL X receiver and maybe not that starting guy. If he lands somewhere where he can get that chance, maybe he does something with it, but I just don't know if there's enough there to make him a team's going to run out there every single week, 50, 60 snaps a game.
We'll see. I mean, he needs development for sure. He's certainly raw in that regard. But I just think the in fantasy, the league winners every year are these outlier type players, and there's no bigger outlier literally than Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, right
now from this class. So
a guy certainly worth that fourth round pick. Anything to add there, Ryan?
No, not really. Just had to check his ADP. It is right around where you're talking about, Dan. 36 overall in our current rookie ADP. So, yeah, I mean, when you get to that point in the draft, late third, early fourth, those are guys that you're willing to take a shot on. But I think we're going to have a lot of players worth taking a shot on in that Absolutely. Range. So it kind of becomes a pick your favorite flavor at that point. And Wilson, you know, there does seem to be a little bit of buzz about him. I know Josh Norris and the guys over at Underdog have been really talking him up lately. So there's a little bit of buzz. We'll see where he lands.
And guys that are that big don't run under 4.45, and he ran 4.52. And you know, he has that vertical jump. Yeah. They're talking about him as maybe like an early day three guy, it sounded like. So if he gets that kind of draft capital, he could jump into the third round and could, you know, especially with a good landing spot, be a guy that we're talking about again a week from now. The guy I went with for my guy is a running back I've talked about multiple times. It's Jalen Wright from Tennessee. Love that jump cut, the elite long speed. Honestly, I don't think he ran as well as I expected at the combine, and he was sub 4.4. And I think it just shows better on the field in pads because he runs away from everybody in the SEC against elite competition, some of the fastest players in college football. He runs so tough at the point of contact, although he does run kind of upright and takes on some big hits, especially from safeties coming down into the box to help against the run. Something you always talk about, Matt, good hands and the ability to make something happen after the catch that adds so much value for us. I could see him being RB1 for dynasty managers if he gets that landing spot. We're expecting round three draft capital in the NFL draft. I think that could push him up as high as like 10, 11, 12 in fantasy rookie drafts if he gets that landing spot we like. There are some negatives. I've heard people talk about him being one of the least effective pass blocking running backs. Picking up the blitz is a problem for him. That could create opportunity problems at the next level. He shuffles his feet a little bit if a running lane isn't immediately there, but those big plays make up for that. You know, it felt like every fourth or fifth time he touched the ball, he was running to daylight and outrunning the competition. The only way to get him off the field was literally to push him out of bounds because he could jump cut, get to the perimeter, and he's off to the races. And it was a safety that had to save the day. You know, he fumbles a little bit. There are negatives. That's what's going to keep him from being the first running back drafted in the NFL draft, probably. But I think he probably has the most upside of any running back if he blossoms into everything I think he could be. And I can't wait to see who drafts him.
I like Jalen Wright a lot as well. And I'm not.
I noticed. I saw in your rankings, you have him at 14. I have him at 14 right now. You're the only one that's close to my rankings. Exactly, actually. You had him at 14 as well.
Yeah, I am starting to get him. And maybe it's looking at some of these. You know, of course, the closer we get to Thursday, we see 3-round mocks, 7-round mocks. He's going a little later than maybe I would have hoped, or at least not necessarily in line with how dynasty managers might be valuing him after that big combine performance, where at least some of us are ready to push him up to RB1, RB2 in our rookie rankings. He looks like he might be more in that 4 or 5 range if we're believing these mock drafters. So, you know, there's a little uncertainty for me when it comes to Jalen Wright. I'm a fan, so I'm with you, Dan. I definitely hope he gets that draft capital and that landing spot that we love and that helps his value grow even more. But I'm a little nervous heading into, I won't even say Thursday, I'm a little nervous heading into Friday about what type of draft capital he gets.
Well, we don't know how many running backs are going to go or when the run's going to start. It does feel like the betting public or the betting lines have shifted to maybe only one second round running back. 1 to 2 seems to be where that's at. And then even in round three, it's not a flurry of 5 or 6 guys. It seems to be 2 or 3 more guys, which is a little bit of surprise to me personally, because although this class doesn't have a Bijan Robinson in it, that elite back, it certainly feels like it has lead backs in it between Wright and Benson. Jonathan Brooks has some upside. A guy we're going to talk about here shortly, Blake Corum. Matt, you like Marshawn Lloyd and Ray Davis as guys that could potentially have at least 2 down roles and maybe even 3 down roles. Braylon Allen didn't work out that much. And, you know, there's some upside there as well. So even though there's not that top of the line type ace in the hole running back in this class, it does feel like we should hear more round three guys than maybe most are expecting. But maybe I'm hyping up this class of running backs just a little bit too much.
I mean, there's a lot of, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say, I think there's 6 guys that we're looking at and almost assuming they're going to be top 100 picks, which is, of course, that the top 3 rounds, Benson and Brooks and Corum. And then maybe you drop a tier, right? Allen and Marshawn Lloyd. If it's more than that, I would be surprised. But if any of those top 4, and I would say even Lloyd in there as well, if any of those fell to round 4, day 3, it would be disappointing, and I do think it would hurt their value.
Yeah, hurt their value, and even if they are high day 3 picks, that round 4 tag next to their name doesn't usually translate to huge fantasy production. We'll see how it shakes out on Friday and Saturday. Ryan, who'd you pick as your guy for this exercise?
Well, it was obviously tough to narrow down to just one guy. There's so many players I like in that second, third round range, especially at the receiver position. But I kind of let a little Kentucky bias make my decision, as I do sometimes. I didn't go with Ray Davis or any Kentucky player, though. I went with a Western Kentucky player, Malachi Corley, the big wide receiver. And as I was looking more into him, into his game and his profile, I actually just found out he started his college career as a running back. You guys probably knew that already, but it definitely makes sense as you watch him play, because he is physical. He's making those plays after the catch and breaking tackles, and even his frame at 5'11", 210, 212. I mean, he is rocked up and looking like a running back after he catches the ball. Looks like he's going to be one of those day 2 picks at the receiver position. And he's the wide receiver 13 in our ADP. Matt picked the last player in the 3rd round. I picked the last player in the 2nd round, Corley going off 24 overall. And just really excited to see where he lands. And certainly with that Kentucky connection, a player that I'll be cheering for.
Yeah, Corley was one of the guys that I considered as well. So I'm glad you went with him. I'm higher than most on him for all the reasons you mentioned. Matt, we talked about Malachi Corley. It feels like quite a while ago, right? And we I think, if I remember correctly, all of us liked him. You mentioned big receiver. I think he's right around 6 foot, but he's thick, right? He's a guy that has that like Debo Samuel type posture and running style a little bit. And you could see him playing some running back snaps a lot like Debo has done in the past. I think those physical receivers that are able to show like Corley did at maybe a lesser against lesser competition, he really had to stick out in the postseason, and he did those things through the bowl game season, at the combine as well. So I'm excited to see if Corley can sneak into the 2nd round, because you see some mocks where he does that, and if he's able to be one of those, like, geez, it feels like 7 or 8 names that get lumped into the 2nd round at wide receiver, I could see him jumping up a few spots in most people's rankings. Probably not in yours and mine, though, Ryan. We must be expecting that already. Anybody else we should have added? We talked about guys that we were considering before the show, Matt, and there was some overlap that we didn't necessarily pick.
Yeah, there was. I mean, it was so hard to not pick Ricky Pearsall, somebody we haven't talked about since January 15th. I mean, Brian, I remember that show pretty vividly. I remember we were talking about who we thought he reminded of us was before the show. And Ryan said we should text each other and see if we have the same name. And we did. We both said Puka Nacua, just based on the way he is so versatile, his the athletic explosion, the way he gets open, the toughness that he shows through the routes. I mean, I've moved him. I don't know where you guys have him. I feel like I'm pretty aggressive on him. I have him at my wide receiver 8 right now. So I'm very excited about Ricky Pearsall. I hope he does get the draft capital that we all think he will.
Yeah, I think he's gonna. And I have him at wide receiver 10, so just a couple spots below. But I'd be surprised if we don't hear his name like by early in the third round at the very latest. Yeah, he's definitely a top 75 player in the draft. And if that all happens, he looks like a guy that, especially if he goes to a team that has a quality quarterback and a need at the slot receiver, right? Because we're likely to see him in the slot at the next level. I think he could make a big impact and potentially early in his career. Anybody else we should talk about here, Ryan, quickly?
Yeah, another wide receiver, Xavier Leggett, kind of in that same value range right now as Corley and Pearsall. And I mean, there's other guys in that tier as well, guys like Jalen Polk. It's going to be a real value boom for at least a couple of those guys who are going to go from, you know, mid to late second rounder to first round dynasty rookie pick with a good landing spot.
Yeah. Leggett is a guy. I got caught in the vortex of Xavier Leggett highlights here recently and
so fun.
And game film. He's so much fun to watch. He's all about, you know, strength at the catch point, especially those ball skills are incredible. And then control along the boundary. And then with contact bearing down on him, his big hands just go get it. And I love that killer instinct in a wide receiver. There are some things that maybe slow you down with Xavier Leggett. It's hard not to get excited about his upside. And he certainly looks like he's definitely a top 50 player, right? There's a chance we hear his name called on Thursday and not Friday.
By the way, I want to shout out, it's a little bit of a tangent here, but I want to shout out whoever Adrian Cienko is on YouTube, because he's put together these cut-ups of like every single target and catch from Xavier Leggett, for example, which I watched a couple of days ago. He has every single snap and throw from Jaden Daniels. He just has all of these cut-ups of every single play that these players that have been involved in. So if you want to do some quick studying before we get to the draft, look up this guy, Adrian Cienko, S-I-E-N-K-O, on YouTube, because he has all of these complete cut-ups of every player that you want to see that's in this draft.
That's part of that caught in the trap of watching video that I caught too. So just the other day. Let's get to the next segment, guys. We got a lot to get to here. We got some rookies to talk about.
It's time for the Rookie Report.
Yeah, it is time for the Rookie Report, and we're going to start off at running back. It is Blake Corum, who I'm surprised we haven't got to. He's kind of been one of my guys as well, going back to the 2022 season at Michigan, where he was so strong. You know, Corum is one of these guys that we were just talking about that's going to mix into that round 3 range. Maybe he slips to round 4. But he's built way low to the ground, which makes him real hard to find between the tackles. He might have some of the best contact balance in the class. He's really good at taking on contact, dragging tacklers, or bouncing off of it and turning plays into bigger plays. Very good vision, a great cutback, has a good feel for setting up blocks and running off the tail of his pull blocker specifically. Good hands and yak after the catch. He's also an excellent blocker. And I listened to 2 of his interviews, guys. And this is what makes me think he's going in the third round. A team is going to fall in love with his moxie, his character, his football IQ. You can tell he knows a lot about the game, a lot about his responsibilities as a runner. And that's what made him one of Harbaugh's guys there at Michigan. And you know, although there are some negatives to his game, he's much more of a short yardage runner, doesn't have that burst and that explosion to make lots of big plays. In fact, I think I saw a stat this week that said Of all his of his 40 some touchdowns, only a handful of them were outside of 5 yards. That's not surprising. If you turn on the tape, he's more of a grinder, more of a bulldog that wears you down between the tackles through hitting you over and over and over rather than making those big plays like Jalen Wright, which we were talking about earlier. He's also, Matt, not that start and stop guy. He can't change directions, completely stop and then start again. He gets caught from behind when he does that. And he tends to do it a little bit too much for my liking, which keeps him, honestly, from being in the conversation for being that number one guy in the class. He's more of the grinder, not the guy that's going to pop off the big runs. And I don't know if that's going to necessarily be a good thing for him becoming that 18, 20 carry a game guy at his size. Nevertheless, I have him at RB5 in the class and as a late second round pick in my super flex rankings.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Chargers takes him in the second round with that. Was it 36th or 37th pick, but in the third round, no at 69, like seems like Harbaugh could go get him there. Right. Yeah. He's really difficult for me to rank. I think I'm going to have him end up with him outside of my top five. I mean, we'll see what happens when we get draft capital and situation, all that, but he's just, I don't know. He's incredibly efficient inside runner for his size, right? Especially around the goal line, 27 touchdowns last year. He does remind me a little bit of Aaron Jones around the goal line. He's able to find those tiny little creases, you know, but I don't know if he's using his size effectively that way, but he does seem to be able to squeeze through those little cracks that other bigger backs can't get through. And that helps him out, really does, at the goal line. We do see, however, I mean, I don't know how many, I stopped counting after like 25 plays, but at least like so many plays of 13 personnel, like they aren't shy with what they're going to do. They run out three tight ends out there. Everybody blocks and Corum gets, you know, 3 to 5 yards most plays, sometimes breaks them bigger than that. And it's very effective at getting me into the end zone. But I just like he's from a fantasy standpoint, I think this comp is already out there, but like he seems like he's going to be somebody like a Devin Singletary, this undersized inside back that doesn't really catch the ball super well. He's okay as a pass catcher, probably not going to be part of his game. And you know, he doesn't have the size necessarily to move the big piles, but he's going to be effective on his touches. So it just depends on how an NFL team is going to view him and the role they're going to put him in. If he gets that lead back role as that two down back, if that's the way they want to use him, fine, he'll be fine. But if he falls into a committee as part of a second half of like a three back committee, you have a pass catching back that isn't either of the two early down backs, and he's number two of those early down backs, then we have some concern with him. So, I mean, draft capital is going to tell us everything here. I'm going to let the NFL draft tell me what to do with Blake Corum.
Good point. Ryan, what do you think of that draft capital? Where's it coming? And does he need that ultimate, you know, really solid landing spot to cement him as a second round rookie pick?
Well, I mean, Matt said he was waiting on the NFL. I think we're kind of doing that with all the running backs.
We are.
You know, I've got a few numbers here on Corum. If he does go to the Chargers 69 overall, that's the top six pick in the third round. Do you think is that automatic value boost for him between the landing spot and the Harbaugh connection? It's got to be, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
that's like an ideal spot back there.
Yeah.
Right. So looking at,
that's probably the upside, right? Interrupt, but that's probably the highest he can go, I would say.
Is that, with that spot, landing
69
spot?
Really? Overall to the Chargers.
Oh, okay. In the NFL draft. I thought you meant in fantasy. In fantasy, I think there are better landing spots, but the
Chargers, there are.
A great one. Yeah.
He seems like he could be a Cowboys runner to me.
That's what
he's like, the sleeper that could go to Dallas and then surge up.
Although, do they want to have 2 5-7 guys with Duson and him back there? Maybe Duson's like 5'6". But that's a lot of little backs in that backfield.
Yeah, I think you have Deuce Vaughn higher on the depth chart than the Cowboys do.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to factor Deuce Vaughn into anything, really. Blake Corum is being projected in that same range as that Chargers third-round pick, though. Mock Draft Database has him at 70 overall and the RB3. PFF has him 75 overall and the RB3. And he's also the RB3 in both of our data sets of ADP, both single quarterback and super flex, somewhere in that mid second round range, 15 in single quarterback, 17 in Superflex. So, yeah, it seems like RB3 is pretty much the consensus on him, and which is strange because throughout this entire pre-draft process, we've talked about there really is no consensus, and it's kind of wide open. I still think that's the case, and right now it seems like the community might be higher on Corum than the three of us are.
Well, you know, like I said, 22, I thought that was going to be kind of high, but most of the rankers at DLF have them right in that range, with the exception of a couple that have them at 17 overall. Ryan, I see your ranking is probably the lowest at 26 in Superflex ranking. So maybe the hype isn't really there for you with him.
No, it's really not. I mean, I've got some concerns. You know, we thought he was going to be part of that rookie class a year ago. He went back to school, and you know, I'm sure he was happy with that choice as they won the national title. I don't think he necessarily helped his value or his draft stock very much. I just think he's a role player in the NFL. Honestly, I don't look at him as anything more than a 1B at best in a committee.
He's also the only one of the six or seven guys that we all are kind of excited about their upside. He's the only one that's 23 years old. The only 22-year-old is Marshawn Lloyd. Everybody else is 20 or 21. So a couple of years older. We'll see if that affects
you. Dan, do you think he's the safest back in this class? Like,
no, I don't think he's the standpoint safest. I think he might be the blahest. I don't think, you know, that's not a good thing necessarily, but he's going to get you the 3 or 4 yards.
And he's not going to miss. Like, he's not going to miss for an NFL team. He might miss for fantasy, but I don't think he's going to miss for NFL teams. It's just, I don't know how much that translates to fantasy success.
Right. Right. I can see that. Maybe he's a better NFL running back than he is a fantasy back. We'll see how that plays out. Let's move on to wide receiver, Matt. Why don't you take this one? It's Jalen Polk, the Washington wideout. He seems to be mixing in with those second round wide receivers. So certainly somebody we should be considering in dynasty drafts.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, he's a good player, but I don't know. He's my least favorite of the three Washington receivers. I like Jalen McMillan a little bit more, probably offers a little bit less in terms of size and athleticism as Polk does. Polk is just going to be, I see him as possession receiver that's moving the chains. He's solid everywhere, but really doesn't dominate anywhere. You know, he adjusts very well to off thrown balls. He attacks with strong hands at the catch point, but he's got plenty of drops on film too. So to me, he's a high floor, low ceiling kind of player. I kind of feel like a Tyler Boyd kind of range, somebody who's going to be reliable in a lot of ways, but you know, probably needs a little bit of help or needs to be the primary passing game target to really stand up for us for fantasy on a consistent basis. But you know, maybe a flex play, something like that. He's just solid everywhere, but doesn't seem special in any really regard. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about him.
I like what you said there. In your comparison to maybe the fantasy production of Tyler Boyd, I wrote down almost verbatim to what you said. Turns off target throws into catches. Uses his 6'1", 205 frame well. Makes jump ball receptions. Catches the ball away from his body. Those are all things that we really like. But he also doesn't have the burst at the line of scrimmage or at the top of his route to create a lot of separation. That's a problem. My biggest thing I wrote down and put a star and circled was separation is going to be a problem due to rounded routes and lack of burst. And those aren't players that you invest first round rookie picks into, even in single quarterback leagues. That pushes them more towards the back end of the second round or even into the third round. I have Jalen Polk at 27 overall in my Superflex rankings. And honestly, I can see a couple names behind him that I think maybe I need to bump up a couple spots because, like you, Matt, I'm concerned that he's just going to mix in as some team's wide receiver three and never really be the guy we want to click the box next to his name and start every week.
Who do you all see as I mean, if that's what you see, who's the NFL comp?
I said Tyler Boyd was what I said.
Yeah, but, yeah, I like the Boyd one, but it's that's more of his fantasy comp, I think. Is he that kind of player on the field, do you think?
I mean, I just what does Tyler Boyd? I'm just trying to think of players who are just solid but don't really offer any, like, don't have a calling card, you know what I mean? Like, what is Tyler Boyd's calling card? I guess he's a efficient route runner. Maybe he's a better route runner, I guess, than
way better route runner. Yeah.
But, you know, other, like, I'm just trying to think of a, that's not a comp stylistically, I guess, but just like a solid player who we don't really get excited about because he doesn't do anything special. Like, you know, like,
no, that's fair. Just a guy, huh?
Up top of my head. Yeah. Just kind of, not just a guy, like an NFL level, just a guy. Like, he can play, he's going to be a good player. I just don't think he's going to be a good fantasy player.
Ryan, I mentioned that he's probably a second to third round NFL draft pick. Is that what you're seeing in the mocks that you're looking at?
Yeah, right on that edge of the second and third round. Certainly a guy will hear his name on day two. Wide receiver 12 at PFF, 13 at mock draft database. And I'm looking at this group of wide receivers. It's a lot of the names we mentioned earlier in the show. And essentially, in a 20-pick span, we see Pearsall, Leggett, Roman Wilson, Jalen Polk, and Malachi Corley. So that's your tier of five wide receivers. And as I said earlier, landing spots, and maybe there's some surprise draft capital for one or two of those guys. But we're going to be talking about at least one of these guys as a potential first-round dynasty rookie pick because of that landing spot.
I think I got a comp for you, and it's a guy that I actually liked quite a bit. I see a little Zay Jones in him. So, you know, we all know where we ended up on my Zay Jones love that I had when he came out. Let's move on to another wide receiver. It's a familiar name, McCaffrey, but it's the younger one, Luke. You know, I remember Luke McCaffrey as the quarterback for the Cornhuskers back in like 2020. He started with them, but then of course moved on to Rice, where he showed he can be a player at wide receiver. There are things to get. His highlight reel is real nice. He makes some fancy catches out there. Certainly lives up to the McCaffrey name, but doesn't have the same size and ability to. Well, really the same size as his dad, and then the ability to make huge, shifty, unbelievable plays with his legs like his brother, Christian. Not the same kind of player as those two guys, but his hands are incredible. He's really strong on the short to intermediate area, which you'd expect from a guy of his stature. And like I mentioned, the highlight reel catches are so impressive. If you haven't watched him, just type in Luke McCaffrey highlights on YouTube, and some of those grabs make you think this guy's going to make an impact in the NFL. So he's in my rankings, Matt. I know a lot of people just don't believe. I have my wide receiver 21 and 42 overall. He mixes in as one of the guys. If you got a fourth round in your draft and you want to take a shot on Luke McCaffrey, I kind of like him a little bit.
You ever seen that movie Twins, the old with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito? If Luke McCaffrey, if he was in that movie, he would be the Danny DeVito character in this family, right? Like in the McCaffrey family. But I actually liked him quite a bit, like more than I thought I would. 6'2", 198. He's got okay size. I mean, he's not the biggest weight wise, but he's got.
That's not a Danny DeVito frame.
Yeah, he does not have the Danny DeVito frame, but to me, he wins with quickness and physicality. That's his entire game. He's just so quick. He's so physical at the catch point. There's so many plays where you see him going across the middle. He just knows, or at least he should know, that he's about to take a massive hit, and he just makes the catch, gets right back up onto the next play. Reliable hands, like I said, he just catches everything. You know the highlights. He lots of one-handed catches out there on the highlights, and then versatility. I think he can line up pretty much everywhere. The routes are kind of one note. You know, he has the quickness, I think, to deliver some crisper routes, but he needs more footwork development. He ran a 6.73 cone, very good number. Not as good as his brother, who ran, I think, 6.5, something like that. I wish he had like 10 more pounds of muscle on him. So, I mean, I see him as like a big slot in the NFL. And if he can do more than that, cool. But I think he could be successful as a big slot.
Yeah, big slot is what I thought as well. He just runs everything's the same speed with McCaffrey, yes. Right?
There's no route variation. There's no tempo change. There's no, none of that.
Right. And not the shake at the top of the route that you really, really want to see, especially considering what we see from his brother. There is some upside, though, for sure. Ryan, you try to find mock drafts that include Luke McCaffrey. You got to find a 7-round mock a lot of the times. You see him in the 5th, 6th round. I think I saw a mock that had him in the 4th. That would be some noteworthy draft capital if he were to get that. Middle to high end of the 4th round is probably his upside, though.
Yeah, obviously a day 3 guy. For what it's worth, mock draft database, and we don't want to put, of course, too much stock into that. As they're pulling mock drafts from all over the internet, they do have him with a projected draft spot of 132, and guess who has the 132nd pick? It's the 49ers. So that would be fun, certainly from a narrative standpoint. But I mean, that's a 4th round draft pick. I would be surprised if he gets that. I mean, feels more like a 5th or 6th round guy that we hope lands in a spot where he can get on the field, at least within the first couple years.
I got something to throw out.
You aged yourself with the movie thing that you did. You guys remember the shirt, the No Fear shirts and all the gear, No Fear? That's Luke McCaffrey. He has no fear on the field. And I root for those kind of guys. So I think I'm going to have him on a bunch of teams because you can get him for free.
Yeah.
And, might as well throw him on a roster. What do you have, Matt?
I forgot. I forgot what it was.
See, I'm showing my age again. Isaiah Davis, we got to talk about him quickly, guys. The running back from South Dakota State up here in my neck of the woods. I was pretty excited about him. He's pushed all the way down to RB14 in my rankings. I have him at 47 overall, which pretty much meshes with where everybody else is ranking him. He's a hard runner and he uses his size well. He listed at 6'2", 218, which is a big back, right? He sets up blockers well, uses patience, and has a feel for block development. He's an above average pass catcher for sure. But the negatives, Matt, are probably enough to make him push him outside those top 10 running backs in the class, unless he gets some kind of great draft capital that's going to push him up. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we keep him on our radar for Dynasty. I think he's just much as handful of other guys are worth a 4th round pick. You know, he's a kind of a no nonsense power back. He's shifty between the tackles. I think he's really great, like picking through trash at the line. The footwork is really good. And it seems it's the level of competition you've got to figure out, I guess, but it often seems like he was the most physical player on the field. Like he just wanted to hit somebody and, impressive stats. Again, say what you want about competition, but over 3,000 rushing yards combined the last 2 seasons, 44 receptions over the last 2 years. So, I mean, there's enough to like here if he can earn a spot. It's just going to be that draft capital and where he lands.
You got to keep in mind that Davis ran behind two pretty good offensive linemen. In fact, that he ran behind 4 really good offensive linemen. 2 of them are going to be mid-round picks in the NFL draft here this week. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Ryan, anything to add on the Jackrabbit from South Dakota State?
Not too much. Does obviously look like a day 3 guy, most likely a late day 3 guy. So just another one of those, small school running backs that as Matt said, we want to keep an eye on because with those rookie running backs, it's always about landing spot. And, maybe he's the next James Robinson type that could get on the field even as a rookie and gain some value quickly.
Yeah. The thing that pushed him down my rankings every time I updated my rankings is every time I watch him, he bounces those runs to the outside. That's not going to fly at the next level. And he takes a lot of big hits. Up route right runner, a lot like Jalen Wright. So we got a mock to get to. Matt, was there anybody else that we didn't get to in all those 52 rookies that we somehow missed and need to talk about quickly?
I mean, we never really got to Malik Washington. He's got a lot of buzz lately. He's a really fun player, efficient route runner, incredible ball skills for his size. 57% contested catch success rate, which is better than Keon Coleman, who only had 33% success rate, and he's 6 inches taller and 25 pounds heavier. So you love that from a smaller guy. And he's just so slippery and powerful after the catch. He actually led FBS wide receivers with 35 broken tackles. So he's undersized. That's an issue for certainly. He gets pushed off his routes. He gets beat up a little bit. But the NFL plays 70% zone schemes these days. So, you know, I think they can scheme around him.
Slot receiver all day long.
Yeah.
He's going to be a slot, and he could be a pretty good one. We're looking at maybe even a second round draft capital. Certainly could be a third rounder. Before we get to our mock draft here, let's pause for a word from our sponsor from this week. This week's episode of the podcast is brought to you by the guys over at DraftKings and that newest product that I've been talking about the last few weeks. It's called Pick 6. It's a pick'em style platform where you choose players to have more or less of a certain stat, things like passing yards, rushing yards, etc. But the twist that DK has made is that it's a peer-to-peer platform. So if you're contrarian and you outsmart your opponents, the winnings can be massive. It's also available in 21 states, including some that don't even have sports betting. I live in one of those states that don't allow sports betting, but Pick 6 is available, and I can tell you I already love it, and I think you will too. So sign up using our link in the show notes, and you're going to get a brand new offer as the weather gets warmer and those Pick 6 offers start heating up with it. New customers can get an instant 100% deposit match up to $100 in Pick 6 credits. So check it out. Check out those show notes and sign up today.
The DLF Dynasty Podcast Mock Draft.
As we said, we covered 52 rookies. Let's do a mock draft and line these guys up. We're going to try to get through this quickly because we're going to try to get through three rounds. We'll do the same thing again next week to see how things change. We're playing super flex here. So if you're in a single quarterback league, just bump the quarterbacks down a little bit. But let's get through these. Ryan, you drew the first pick. I was second. Matt, you're going to be third. Let's go.
Pretty easy pick for me still, despite some strong options at the top. I'll take the quarterback, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I would have taken him at one as well. I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the second pick. I think he might be the best player in the draft, best fantasy player in the draft. Certainly the 101 in single quarterback leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man, there's so many bloodlines in this draft. It's crazy. I will take the pretty obvious here, Jaden Daniels, my 101.
Is that obvious for you, Ryan? Would you have taken him third?
No, not obvious for me.
I know. You guys are on the other train. I know, but it's fine. It's going to happen.
Well, I'll take – I don't know which train you're talking about. I'll take Malik Nabers at the four spot here. But yeah, I probably would have taken another quarterback over Daniels as well, I think.
Yeah, I have Malik Nabers at three, and I actually have Roman Dunze at four, so I'll take him at five. I think there's a chance that there are three elite wide receivers in this class. Dunze is closer to Nabers and Harrison than whoever you have at four is to a Dunze for sure.
I know you guys are trying to force my hand here, I feel like, but I'm not going to do it. I actually have same tier with Drake May. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Brock Bowers here at 106.
All right, so the first six go off the board. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and Brock Bowers. Ryan, I assume you'll go with the quarterback here at seven.
Yeah, I mean, I would be rushing to the podium to make this pick. Drake May at seven in a rookie draft. And honestly, I make light of it a little bit. Any of these players falling to seven is going to feel 100%. Like a huge value.
Yeah.
You know, if it's Bowers or if it's Odunze or May. And obviously, those are the three that I think are most likely to be. I don't think the two receivers or the two quarterbacks are going to fall to seven. The top two quarterbacks are falling to seven very often.
I think Drake May can fall to seven, though. He's gonna,
Oh no, I do
the seven in a lot of super flex drafts, and that's a bargain, like you said. So you want to be in the top seven, because at eight, you're looking at a tier break for sure. That's where I am. I'll go with Brian Thomas. We're expecting him to be the fourth wide receiver off the board potentially, although Worthy and Mitchell could have something to say about that. He's a wait and see, though. We got to see where he lands and what kind of capital he gets before locking him in at eight, in my opinion. Matt?
Yeah, I'll take Xavier Worthy here. I have Thomas, Worthy, and another receiver kind of in this tier right after those top seven guys, and Worthy is my favorite of those three.
Ryan, you're up at number 10.
I'm going to take JJ McCarthy, and let's just go ahead and make the next pick.
Gross. That one doesn't feel good. I'm going to go with Mitchell. I have him at number 9 in my rankings. Very excited about his ceiling at the next level.
Interesting. Yeah, I debated between McCarthy, Worthy, and Ladd McConkey here, so I will take Ladd McConkey. I have him at wide receiver 6, I believe.
Yeah, he was next in my rankings for sure. Good pick there. So the first round's in the books. Ryan, why don't you kick it off in round 2?
I think we'll see a lot of drafts play out like this, where you might not see a running back go in the top 12. And of course, unless one of those guys lands with the Dallas Cowboys, but I'll break the seal here and I'll go with Jonathan Brooks at the 201.
Yeah, it'll be a different running back every time in every draft you're in as well that goes number one. It feels like you could have Brooks, or you could have one of the guys we talked about on the show, or I'll take Trey Benson right here, who's my RB1 in the class. Barely right now.
Yeah, Benson seems like the only one. I guess you can't even really say he's a lock, but he's the only one that seems like he's a lock for round 2 capital. You don't think so?
No. I think Brooks is the other guy.
I think Brooks and Benson are the two top guys, but I think, I don't know. 203. I'm going to take another quarterback here. I'm going to take Michael Penix Jr.
Oh. All right. Ryan, you're up at 16 overall.
I will go with I'll go with Jalen Wright here, another running
back. Yeah, good pick. I was between him and Xavier Leggett, so I'll go with Leggett at the 17 spot. Matt, you're at the 2.06.
I will take Bo Nix here.
Yeah, these quarterbacks got to fit in here. We'll see what kind of draft capital they get. Of course, we're hearing potentially 6 quarterbacks going in round 1. If that happens, we could see some of these names go a little bit higher in this mock next week. Ryan, who are you going to get at the 2.07?
I think I'm going to go with this guy is falling, certainly seems to be falling in the NFL draft potentially as well. I'll take Troy Franklin, the receiver here at 2.07.
Yeah, I really want to rank him in like the top 5, but there's just so many fun guys in this class. It's hard to move him up there for me.
Well, and there's so many question marks with Franklin's game. I just don't know what to do with him. I've pushed him down even lower than this. I have Keon Coleman above him and feel good about that. So I'm going to take Keon Coleman here.
That's gross.
Okay.
I'm going to,
maybe he's one of my guys.
I'm going to take, I would prefer Ricky Pearsall to him pretty easily. So I'll take him at 209.
Yeah. He was the next guy.
Well, we are clearly in that tier of guys that we talked about earlier. So I'll go with, I'll go with Malachi Corley here.
There you go.
He belongs in here as well. And I'm going to be a Badger homer. I guess not. He's the next guy on my list. It's Braylon Allen. He could get third round draft capital, and if he lands in the right spot, we could see him moving up boards next week as well. Matt, finish off round 2.
Man, I will take. Gosh, I'm gonna take Marshawn Lloyd here.
Yeah, he belongs. He was the next guy, or second to next guy on my list. That's a good pick. Ryan, let's try to get through round 3 quickly.
Sure. I'll go Blake Corum. Just feels like he can't fall much further than this.
That's who I felt like I should have picked, but I went with the guy I like
Yeah, I have him back to back in my rankings at 23 and 24. So that feels right there. I'm up at the 3.02. I'll take the second tight end. The only other one that I think could be a starting tight end in the NFL out of this class, it's Jatavion Sanders.
I'm going to take Ray Davis here. I really feel like he is worth a second round rookie pick, but I've learned over the last couple of months, you are not going to have to take him anywhere near there.
Yeah.
This is near the second round.
Yeah. That's a good spot for Ray Davis, don't you think, Ryan? He's close to here, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've drafted
one guy ahead of him.
Yeah. I've drafted J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum, so I guess I'll draft Roman Wilson here as well.
Yeah, keep all those national championships going. One in each round for you, I guess. I'll go with Jalen Polk here. He's the next guy on my rankings.
I'm going to take Javon Baker. I'm going to take Javon Baker here.
All right, that puts Ryan on the clock at the 3.07. We each have two more picks.
Yeah, we're definitely in get your guy territory here. I'm just going to get one of Dan's guys instead. I'll take Tyrone Tracy here.
Oh, you dog. Well, I wish I could do it back to you, but I don't know. Do you have any guys down here? You only talk about the guys that are drafted in the first round. So I'm going to stick to my board. I updated these at lunch today, so I'll go with another receiver. It's Jalen McMillan is next on my board.
I'm staying through the board, too. I'll take Jermaine Burton.
Good pick. He moved up in my rankings. He was coming up. I like him a little more than I expected, and he's going to get some pretty good draft capital, too. He's talked about in round 2/3.
Yep.
Yeah, I like Burton's game, the off-field stuff.
Yeah, off-field scary.
It might be over exaggerated a little bit.
I hope so, because that's not. Yeah, I like what I've seen on the field, and if that's all we're concerned with, I think he's certainly a day two pick. But again,
there was that incident where the fans rushed the field and all that stuff. We're not going to have to worry about that in the NFL. They can't get on the field.
No, I think it's overblown. I think it seems like it's more of like the prototypical diva wide receiver thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're good, right? It matters a lot if you're not. So we'll see if he's good enough.
That's fair. There's a running back that I like more than Tyrone Tracy. I was just a little gamesmanship earlier, so I'll get him here. That's Will Shipley.
Clown.
Yeah.
I knew it was Shipley.
It's a great pick. It's a great pick.
I moved McMillan over Shipley today. And
I was wondering.
Went back and forth. So, whoops. I got my final pick. I'm going to go with one of my original guys. He's certainly moved down the board quite a bit. It's Bucky Irving, and hope he gets the draft capital to stick in the end of the third round. I'm not sure that'll happen.
I want to take Johnny Wilson here, but I'm not because of the position here in the Superflex format. I'm going to take Spencer Rattler. I don't know. The more and more I watch him, the more I think he could certainly be a backup in the league, and you know, with the right opportunity, the right development, the right in his decision making and things like that. I think he could certainly be at least a spot starter in the NFL. So
yeah, and you know, he's only a good landing spot away from getting chances as a rookie. And as we all know in Superflex, you probably starting that guy. Who'd we miss out on? The only ones I had in my top 36 were Devontae Walker, who was right at the bottom of that list, and Isaac Garendo. Anybody for you guys?
Estime seems like a glaring omission. People like him a lot more than I do, but I think he's getting some steam lately. You know, you can go to the bloodline guys, Brendan Rice.
Yeah. Malik Washington.
Jr., maybe. Malik Washington, absolutely.
Yeah. Anybody else for you, Ryan?
I'm still a little interested to see where Jamari Thrash lands. I think he could be potentially a riser. I mean, the fun thing is to think about one of these guys that we didn't draft in these 36 picks is probably going to end up as an early third rounder, maybe even a late second rounder based on what happens later this week. And Dan, as you said, we'll come back next week and do this same exercise again and really hone in, obviously, on the big risers and fallers.
Yeah, we're gonna note their pick, their slot from a week ago. In fact, I think we should keep our same draft order just so everything stays true to form. And we'll see what changes. Anything, any predictions you want to get out there before we wrap it up for this, the end of this week and the draft that's about to happen and everybody will be watching? Matt, you got any predictions?
It never happens, but I'm going to predict it anyway. We're going to get 5 quarterbacks in the first round this year.
Ooh. Could be 6, maybe. Ryan, could you got 6? Something?
Ooh. I talked earlier about Jalen Wright potentially falling. You know, maybe that's just gut feel or whatever. I've got the same concern about Xavier Worthy. I think he could be more like a late second rounder in the NFL draft.
Wow.
I think he has a better chance to be like the 18th pick overall. And
I was going to say a top 20.
League overdrafts these speedy receivers, it feels
Sure.
I thought you were going the complete other way. So, it's not really a prediction because everybody talks about it, but how lucky are we as dynasty managers? We always say we want the studs to go early. Well, I don't want to see a defensive tackle. I don't want to see a linebacker, an edge rusher. I want to see the wide receivers and the quarterbacks going early. I want to see the stud tight end going early. And we might get the first 6 picks could all be quarterbacks and wide receivers in the draft. Well, so that's exactly what we want.
I mean, our first 7 picks of this exercise, Williams, Harrison, Daniels, Neighbors, Odunze, Bowers, and May, I have seen mock drafts over the past few weeks where those were the first 7 picks.
Yeah, it's almost a lock that they're all top 12 picks, right? They're maybe even all top 10. So enjoy it because this doesn't happen very often. We're probably only going to see one defensive player in the first 10 or 12 picks. So all these guys are going to matter for us as dynasty managers. That's going to do it until we speak again post NFL draft. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get to watch it with some friends like me and Ryan and Matt will do, because it's such a good time. We're looking forward to talking to you again next week, doing the same thing again next week. For Ryan and Matt, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening to this episode of the DLF Dynasty Podcast. We'll catch you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Please remember to rate and review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.